A very good evening to you. It is Leah on MKFM, back with the MK Mental Health Hour, where we'll be dedicating an hour each month at 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening with local organisation Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support to provide a bit of a safe space to discuss a variety of mental health topics, as well as share expert practical advice. And each show we'll be joined by John Manning, who is the founder of Arthur Ellis, as well as an expert in that topic that we'll be discussing. And this Sunday, we're going to be talking all about moving for your well-being. But before we get into that, John, welcome back to the studio. Lovely to see you.
Hello, Leah.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you. For anybody that doesn't know about Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, can you give us a bit of a brief overview?
Absolutely, yeah. So we operate a one-to-one service, quite a holistic one-to-one service in Milton Keynes. So we don't diagnose or anything, but we support people with a variety of issues, whether it's full-blown psychological interventions for anxiety through to supporting people through situational things. So we work with doctor surgeries across the city. We work with schools to enable well-being in those communities, and people can come to us directly as well.
Brilliant. So you do such fantastic work in the local community, and I know you've always got lots of different things that you're involved in the local community as well. You've also recently launched your website, brand new website as well.
We have. It's been very exciting.
We've just been having a little look at it online. Looks lovely.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, and it's just one of those where you kind of reach it and it's done and it's there, and it's just so, it's nice. It's really nice.
And there's lots of different parts on your website where people can kind of come to you for advice, support for you, support for others, and how you can maybe be referred to different organisations in Milton Keynes as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So we, in order to subsidise sessions and make sure that appointments are accessible for people, we work with big corporates, kind of like a Robin Hood kind of deal, where we work with massive corporates, we charge them a lot of money, and then we're able to actually put young people through courses of treatment, or at least subsidise it for the masses.
Brilliant. Well, it's lovely to have you with us again this Sunday. And we're also joined in the studio by Rob Francis, who was formerly at Energy Fitness and now the Good Gym MK. Hello, Rob.
Yes, thank you for having us today.
Lovely to have you with us. So tell us a bit about you, your story, and what you do at the Good Gym MK.
Okay, so recently we've been Energy Fitness, trading as Energy Fitness in Kiln Farm for about 5 years. But we have stepped away from the Energy Fitness brand, and we're now trading as our own, still in Kiln Farm, in our lovely building with access to the Redways and the lovely outdoor space that we've got. But we are now rebranded as the Good Gym MK, and it's enabled us to really focus on the things that we really love and care about. I've worked with both of you guys on many occasions on different projects with people like Woodland Hospice. We do stuff with Snap MK. We do loads of stuff for our community. So that's the stuff we really love and passionate about. And so this has enabled us to really get our teeth more into that side of things.
And you're doing yourself a, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Injustice.
Thank you, John. Knew you were here for a reason. Because actually the work that you do in the community for years and years has been incredible, Rob. So thank you from all of us for doing the great work that you do with charities and local organisations. You really do fantastic things.
Thank you.
And you are our expert this evening to tell us all about how moving can be great for our well-being. So we will get into that right after this. So it's the MK Mental Health Hour for Sunday evening. Tonight, joined in the studio by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Rob Francis from the Good Gym MK. So we're talking all about moving for your well-being. And let's just start with the basics then, Rob. Why does moving benefit your health and your well-being?
Well, us human beings are designed intrinsically to move about a lot, actually. And today's society, we have everything at our fingertips, on a screen, mostly on a phone or on our laptops, desktops, and we don't do what we are designed fundamentally to do. So moving is really, really important for us. If I give you an example, the Maasai Mara tribesmen are a group of people who live in Africa, and they live very closely still to this day, elements of them, to the way we humans were evolved as we developed from being cave people. And they stride across the savannah, the African plains, herding goats, hunting, foraging. And I was lucky enough to spend a few days with them once when I was in the military, and we were run off our feet literally as these guys loped gracefully along. We were running alongside them. They moved so efficiently, so effectively. They're all really tall, really long limbed, and they would cover traditionally 15 to 20 miles every single day. We were exhausted at the end of each day, but that was just normal for them. So they live still to this day how us human beings were supposed to be. So we've removed our ourselves with our convenience world. We've removed ourselves so far from our roots. It's bad for us not to move, and we should get as far back as we can to moving more. And so we have to take an active approach to building in activity and movement into our lives. And it has a lot of mental well-being repercussions that John can tell us about. But for me personally, just getting outside, getting into the fresh air, moving around is so important to us.
I can imagine those 15, 20 miles aren't on a plush running track. If you're just talking about the differences in world and technology and stuff.
And they're in bare feet. We're
really?
In our, you know, military boots and, you know, across rugged terrain, and then they're in bare feet. It's astounding, but that's
their life, isn't it?
Yep.
And if we think about way back when, you know, cars, bikes, all of those things didn't exist. So if we can imagine our lives getting around, if we had to go to the shops or go out and get food, you wouldn't jump in your car. You would have to run there. And it's just
and you're so right.
All of those creature comforts that we've got.
That's it. We're just completely detached from that kind of life, because now we're kind of in great. I mean, I'm exhausted even thinking about all those mileage that you might have been doing barefoot or in kind of army boots and things. But actually, we're all trying to even get our 10,000 steps in a day, and we're trying to do that kind of in our lunch break and trying to fit it in with our lifestyle. Because, you know, most of the time, the majority of people are probably sat at a desk. They're working on their laptops, on their computers, on their phones, and trying to get in that amount of movement. You really do have to think about it in
it's
your day to fit it in,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
But that will have an impact on your mental health if you aren't able to fit that in.
Yeah, it definitely does. What essentially happens when we exercise, I don't want to get too technical. Well, to be honest, I don't know about my own ability to become too technical. But what happens in our brain, the brain is a bit like the earth. It's like a model of the earth that's in our heads. You've got the crust, which is our skull. And then you've got the smushy bit in the middle, which is kind of the in-between. And then you've got the mantle, the hot core of your earth. And the mantle is our limbic system. And within our limbic system, that's where our amygdala sits, which manages our fight, flight, freeze response, if you guys have heard of that.
Yeah.
But there's another part of it called the hippocampus. Funny little word. It kind of looks like a hearing aid. It's kind of a squiggle. But it's a really, really important functioning part of the brain. And everyone's used it. I don't know if you two have ever drunk alcohol to the point that you don't remember the night before?
Never, John.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So that's essentially our hippocampus saying to us on that night out, I'm going to leave you to party. You know, we'll wake up in the morning, I'll check in with you. But for now, I'm going to bed. Enjoy the rest of your night. Because it's the hippocampus is responsible for our memory, our learning. I don't know if you've ever tried to teach somebody really drunk something new. But it's not really going to be very successful.
No, I don't imagine it would be.
No, it's the part of the brain that facilitates all of that. But also what it does is it releases dopamine and serotonin. So dopamine is our reward hormone. Some people think it's a happiness hormone, but it's not purely for happiness. It would be bottled and sold if it was. And serotonin is our natural mood stabilizer. So it helps us to control our moods and helps us to control our emotions. So when we exercise, it literally begins to do something called neurogenesis, which is like the creation and repairing of brain cells. So our hippocampus actually physically grows as we exercise.
Wow.
And gives us more capabilities to control our emotion.
Gosh, wow, that's fascinating. Okay, well done. I mean, you were saying you're not sure about your own capabilities of explaining it all, but that was very good.
Well, I more recognise when I'm not moving enough.
Right.
Because I don't know if anyone's, maybe listeners, if they have, they've already probably looked around the room at each other looking at people who drink to the point where they don't remember. But
I don't know why you looked at me then.
if you have a pause of exercise, maybe you do like a routine or you've got a particular thing that you regularly do. If you get injured or maybe a life event happens where you just don't have time to exercise and there's a gap and there's a break, you'll probably notice that you start becoming a little bit more ratty, a little bit irritable, snappy, those sorts of things. If it's not out of, you know, things that are out of character, we probably just know people that are generally irritable anyway. But it starts to have an impact on us because our hippocampus is beginning to shrink and our ability to control those emotions diminishes. So we're going to talk about today not necessarily just why it's really good for us, but ways that we can make sure that we're getting an actual benefit from it and it's consistent.
Brilliant. Well, we'll be getting more into that next. So this evening on the Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about moving for your well-being. Now, I feel like I try and move as much as I can, but I feel like I'm about to be proven wrong, because we're about to discuss what constitutes as moving and whether we're moving enough. Rob, what does constitute as moving?
Well, there's loads of stuff out there, and you can read different contradicting bits and pieces, but there's some good science around the science of movement and what we should be getting. Probably all familiar with the 10,000 steps a day and the use of technology like Fitbit. There are other ones available. But have you heard of that?
Yes, 10,000 steps a day.
Well, interestingly, this was an advertising ploy created by the Japanese creators of the Fitbit. Other technologies are available. There was no science behind it. So scientists have since then, this is like a good decade or so ago, actually looked at how much movement it constitutes a good amount of movement for us. And steps is a good way of getting an understanding of that. So they've actually said that between 8 and 12,000 steps seems to be a good number that will actually, if you can do that on a daily basis, regularly, you will get health benefits from it. And we were just discussing what does that actually constitute. I think John, you said you tried to work out how long that actually meant you were walking for. Was that what was your target?
Well, I'm a bit of a geek, so I did like average, you know, miles per hour that you walk and blah blah blah. So it's roughly about an hour and 20 minutes of walking a day. So that's taking into account everything. So all of the ups and downs of stairs that you might do, walking to work or walking throughout an office, everything put together, it's about an hour and 20 minutes, and you'll be doing about 10,000 steps. But you know, we said earlier on, because I had the pleasure of visiting your gym and getting hooked up to machines and stuff. Everyone's different. So that, you know, obviously that might vary depending on your stride, depending on how quickly you walk and all of that sort of stuff.
That's quite a lot of time though, isn't it? It's like we were saying earlier, if you actually, a majority of people maybe work in an office, they work at a desk, and actually trying to fit in that hour of just walking, you have to really think about it, don't you? I suppose, yeah, you're going to the toilet, you're going to get a drink, but it's making sure that you are putting in some things like a walk at lunch or maybe something before or after work as well. You kind of have to be quite
proactive with it. Like, use the stairs instead of the lift, got that floor to your office or whatever it is. You've got to lunchtime stroll with your friends, chatting about stuff, anything you can build in. It's things like, yeah, walk your kids to school in the morning rather than take the car for the 3 minutes it takes to get to the school, which is 1.5 miles away. Little things like that.
It's just
finding those opportunities. Yeah. And that's why we call it move at Arthur Ellis, because we don't like to call it exercise. Exercise has a connotation that you must have a bead of sweat dripping off your nose and you must be in a class or at a gym or whatever. But as long as you're moving in some shape or form, it's going to be helping you. It's going to be growing that hippocampus.
And actually, part of my job being on the radio, like 3 or 4 hours of the day, I would be sitting behind a desk. But actually, I've started standing now, because then you kind of tend to move a little bit more. It's just making those small little changes that can make such a huge difference. So that's the stepping, 10,000 steps, between 8 and 12,000 steps is what we're trying to aim for.
Yep.
And then what about kind of more vigorous exercise?
Well, the World Health Organization has come up with some useful guidance. They recommend, if you look at walking, and John will talk about what it feels like in a little bit, they recommend we do 150 minutes of light to moderate exercise a week. So like we were saying, you know, an hour's walk each day would be a good way of hitting that target. But that light to moderate exercise, it's hard to gauge what it feels like, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But then 75 minutes of vigorous exercise a week, and you'll gain health and well-being benefits from that. And that's science combined by the top scientists in the world, and that's the guidance from the World Health Organization.
And that's either or, not both.
Either or, not both. Yeah. So if, for example, you did a gym class and it's 30 minutes, well, you get your 75 minutes, two gym classes, and you've pretty much done, you know, for your week. Whereas, you know, if you're doing it more walking and taking it easy, then your 150 minutes, you're going to have to break that down into bite-sized chunks throughout the week, aren't you? But we were talking about how does that feel? And that's the big question for a lot of people. What's vigorous? What constitutes moderate or light? And so we had a little experiment today, didn't we?
Yeah, I am utterly useless when someone says exercise light to moderately. I don't know
what does that mean. Yeah,
I don't know. Well, like 10,000 steps, how do you gauge that? How do you know where you're at? I don't use Fitbits or technology or whatever. I just kind of roll the dice and do things that feel nice. But I'm really grateful to Robert for welcoming me into his gym earlier on and strapped me up to some monitors and stuff, and we got onto a treadmill. One thing that you told me that I didn't know was that you have to, in order to mimic walking in real life, like on a pavement or in the natural inclines and declines of the planet, the treadmill should be set at 2% to begin with. So that closely mimics that of normal walking. So that was a good starting point, just something I learned initially. But then when we were looking at, right, what's your moderate exercise level and where your heart rate gets to, there's this really good technology that you've got, isn't there, that kind of colour codes it?
Yeah, it's called MyZone. There are, again, there are other technologies available, but MyZone, we use it in our gym. It's a heart rate monitor, effectively, but then it transposes your effort levels, your heart rate, and it color codes it. So it's specific to you and it color codes your effort. So the hotter the colors, when you hit the yellow and red zones, you're working really, really hard. And then the cooler colors, grays and blues and into the green, you're working lighter. So it's a really good way without people having to think about it or think about exertion or anything. They can just see either on their phone, on the app that's provided by the technology, or in our gym, we have it up on the screen. So whenever you're doing it, you can see it. And you don't have to worry about how hard you're feeling, how hard it feels. You can just see it. So we did a little experiment where we looked at, for you, what was that light exercise on our treadmill?
It was. I'm not going to give away what the actual number on the treadmill was because it might be quite embarrassing. But what I found, or what I started to feel, was that the light to moderate was when I went from the transition of comfortably breathing through my nose to then having to pick up the pace a little bit with my breathing through my mouth.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, you know, kind of exercising and you're breathing through your nose, and then it gets to that point where, right, I need to maybe start breathing in a bit deeper and involving, you know, gasps in through my mouth. So that was like light to moderate, and then more vigorous was not being able to talk, basically.
Yeah, so
right?
More vigorous, you get into the point where you might get a few words out, then you're gasping for air, so you can just about get a bit of communication going, but I'll chat to you later if you don't mind, I'm a little bit out of breath. That's where you are,
right,
in that more
yeah.
vigorous exercise. So it's a really good way of getting a feel for,
yeah, if you don't have tech or apps, yeah, or you know, you just head out of your house and go for a walk or something, that point of I'm not really comfortable just solely relying on nose breathing, so I need to become a mouth breather for a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a good gauge of that light to moderate level, and that's the 150 minutes or so a week.
Okay, so I'm guessing that actually that might, depending on people's fitness levels and using the apps and technology and stuff, it will vary person to person as well, won't it?
Absolutely. You know, one person's moderate or vigorous exercise is another person's easy exercise. Mm. So yeah, we're all individual. So that's why getting that feel for it and that point at which you're getting a little bit out of breath, that's a really good gauge for you personally.
Yeah.
Those technologies can sort of focus themselves on you specifically. They're very clever and intuitive like that. But for most of us, yeah, if we haven't got that sort of technology to hand, getting that feel for how out of breath do I feel? Put it this way, you're not doing enough if you're strolling around the supermarket, pushing your trolley. That doesn't really count. You have to put a little bit of effort in. And like we said earlier, it's a conscious effort. Walk briskly. You're talking about building in a walk around the stadium, for example, every so often through the day. Yeah, you need to maybe power walk around rather than an amble.
Okay. Notes taken, Rob. Thank you.
And that's another reason why, not to mention like sort of the numbers that you've got on settings in the treadmill, because I've been to the gym. I don't know whether you guys have had it before.
Oh, and you're looking over someone's shoulder going,
yeah,
oh,
what
well,
number
they're
are they
that,
on?
And I should be doing more.
Exactly,
yeah.
But we spoke about it earlier at the gym, because I kind of recognised I was doing it while I was there, and everyone's got different stride lengths, people have got different abilities, they've got different experiences, probably eaten different things during that day. That's all going to determine this. So you cannot compare yourself to the person on the machine next to you. It's about how that feeling is, and that's why it's move for your well-being.
Absolutely. And I suppose one of the most important parts about moving is just to get moving, just to get started. So we're going to be talking about how you can maybe start moving if you haven't before, right after this. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about moving for your well-being. We're joined, as always, by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Rob Francis from The Good Gym MK. So we've been talking about what constitutes as moving and whether we're moving enough. But now, I suppose one of the most important parts is how you can just start moving. So, Rob, if somebody hasn't kind of been exercising or moving before, what's the best way to start?
I think there's a lot around people feeling anxious or nervous about exercise. The simplest thing is to start. We've all got trainers or shoes that we can wear and going for that walk, get out of the door house, walk outside. That's the first start. That's the best place to start. We can all do it. It's really accessible. You don't need to pay fees for that. It's free. So get out of there and start walking. But if you wanted further exercise effort and you might want to look at a gym, for example, but there's a lot of intimidation with gyms, you know. People feel they're not sure what they're going to do. They're worried about the other people, the way they look, etc., etc. So, and being judged. So we sort of call that gym intimidation in the industry. And we work really hard at our gym to get around that. And I think the first things first to get people going and get people started is to teach people. It's education. If you know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how to do it, then that's going to unlock the confidence to do it. And you'll start doing it regularly. Once you're confident in what you're doing, you're not worried about what other people are looking and how they're doing it, because you're not looking at the person, as we talked about earlier, on the treadmill next to you, because you know you're doing it at your level that is right for you, or you're doing the movements that's right for you because you've been shown it and taught it. There you become confident. And once you're confident, you'll do it more regularly. And once you start doing it regularly, consistency is key. You start to enjoy it because you get the benefits. You start feeling, you feel really good afterwards. You feel, oh yeah, I smashed it. I did a personal best in whatever it was you're doing. Or you get that, we were talking earlier about endorphins and the hormones that are going around inside the brain. You start doing it for that rather than the fact that I've got to do it. So it becomes a virtuous circle. So education builds confidence, and then you start to enjoy it for its own intrinsic self.
And how can people get that education? Would they maybe come to a gym and speak to experts like you? Can they look online?
Yeah, our gym is, our foundation is that. I would say, I warn against people reading things online, because I could open up my phone right now and go to find three completely opposing bits of advice around the exact same topic if I Googled it. So be very careful what you take on board from reading things online. Get your sources carefully. And I recommend things like the NHS, World Health Organization, organizations like that, rather than your YouTube stars or your celebrities. So source your information online carefully. And then, of course, you know, I'm going to say I own a gym, but our gym is based around, you know, inviting you in, finding out about you, learning what you're there to achieve, what your experience levels are, etc., etc. And then from there, we can help create a plan and teach you the things that are relevant to you and the right for you. Because again, we said earlier, everyone's different. We're built differently. Our age is different. Our aims are different. Our goals are different. So we hone in on what's right for you. Then from there, you're away.
Absolutely. And I suppose, like you were saying, there's so much tied up in the confidence that it gives you, but then also the actual physical mental health benefits, like you were talking about earlier, John.
Yeah, well, not only do you get this endorphin release and the neurogenesis, and it sort of makes your brain physically stronger for managing emotions, but it really makes sense that people would be gym-timidated. Is that what you said?
Yeah, gym-timidation, yeah.
That's such a good phrase. I've never heard that before, but it's so true. Yeah.
But it is, and yeah. It's anxiety, yeah. Ultimately. Anxiety is an emotion that we all have. It's something that we should embrace and welcome, because it's there to help us look after risk, have a look at, is that a danger? Is it not? And we can have a really good relationship with it. But anxiety, the actual definition, do you guys know the definition of anxiety?
No.
Okay, so it's concern or worry about uncertain future events.
Oh.
So how much of our life is uncertain in the future?
All of
pretty
it.
Much. Bit of a raw deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. So we need to work well with anxiety. We have to have a good relationship with it, because it's something there that can actually be really helpful for us, but everything is uncertain. So that education piece and learning about it, that breaks down the things that are no longer uncertain. And that's why steadily you can get into it. And by learning about it, yeah, absolutely. You can Google stuff as long as it's from proper sources. Because like we said, the 10,000 steps thing was originally a marketing campaign to sell a device.
I did not know that as well. When you mentioned that earlier,
yeah,
I had no idea.
It's looking at the sources and the intent of those sources, I think, but also learn by doing. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you want to find out what that switch from nose to mouth breathing feels like, go for a walk and do different speeds and test yourself out. Maybe, you know, obviously, we should probably say check with your GP and stuff before you do that to make sure that it's safe. But learn by doing, and then ultimately, the less the world becomes uncertain and the less anxiety you're going to feel around it.
And actually, here in Milton Keynes, we are really, really lucky. Not only have we got great gyms like yours, Rob, but there are so many great options that we have. So we'll be talking more about that next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about moving for your well-being. We will be talking about the various options that we have here in Milton Keynes, because we are really lucky in MK to have so many fantastic facilities and outdoor spaces that we can utilise and make sure that we're kind of getting our movement in. But it's sometimes a little bit difficult to get started. We were saying about, you know, you just need to get started. But actually, for a lot of people, it's not as easy as that, is it?
It's not as easy as that. And we can also kind of screw ourselves over sometimes as well. Because I started a year once, you know, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to run every day. And I just ended up giving up. And it's just way too much. But actually what happens with our hippocampus, and we think about emotional regulation, if we're going full at exercise immediately and doing loads of it, our hippocampus is going to grow. And then if we stop, it's going to not have what it needs in order to keep going. So that could actually have a detrimental effect on our mental health, our mood. Mm. So when it comes to starting small, but having a variety of things, there's something called barriers to entry in psychology. I don't know if you guys have come across it at all.
Yeah, I have heard of it before.
So it's not necessarily looking at the, you've definitely come across, as soon as I get to the gym, I'll be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
100%.
About getting there, right? So it's not necessarily about what you do at the gym or what you do to exercise, but the barriers to entry are the stages that you need to before you start. So a gym could be, right, what do I need? I need to maybe drive there. So I need to have fuel. I need to have clothes. I need to have appropriate footwear. I need to get my shoes on and get off the sofa and all of that sort of stuff. There's a lot of barriers, especially if somebody's quite unmotivated or just starting out. That's enough to stop somebody going. So when we're having a look at like a variety of different activities we can do, it's having a look at, right, what are the easier ones that I can do to begin with? So, you know, if you're struggling to get off the sofa or maybe struggling to get out of bed, your low effort activity could be when you go to the toilet, maybe do two laps. You know, go back to your bed, go back to the toilet or the bathroom, and then go back to bed again. And that's fine. That could be enough for somebody. Another person might think that a 5K is low effort. But we're all very, very different. But it's focusing on what it is, what are those barriers to entry, and how do we break those down so that we can make sure that we're going to be consistent even on those bad days.
I have to say, when I used to go to the gym, I used to say to myself, as long as I just get there and just shower, I'll just use their water. I'm just going to go and shower, and like taking the pressure
like tricking
off,
yourself.
Tricking myself. But genuinely, it did work, because I think just taking that pressure off myself, thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to go. I'm going to see how I get on. I'm just going to use their shower. Then by the time I got there, I was absolutely fine, and I'd do a great workout, and, you know, I wouldn't regret it. But then the next day, it'd be exactly the same saga, time and time again. But it's just making sure that you'd kind of take the pressure off a little bit and putting certain steps in place to help you get there.
Absolutely. You don't even necessarily leave the house.
No.
Like you could have a home workout alternative. You could do exactly the same workout that you do at a gym at home, exactly the same energy level when it comes to the actual workout, but you remove all of those barriers, because at home you could do that workout in your pants.
And actually
the
pandemic showed us that perfectly though, didn't it? You know,
exactly,
everybody was
yeah.
working out at home and just picking up some tin cans or the dog to use as a weight or the kid. And,
exactly.
You know,
it
and you
doesn't
can,
matter
no.
as long as you're moving in some shape or form.
Absolutely. And we were just saying, Rob, about the variety of options that we have here in Milton Keynes. There is so much choice, isn't there? We are kind of spoiled for choice here.
Oh, absolutely. Before I go on to that, I'd just like to come back to what you said, your New Year's resolution analogy at the beginning there. You know, I'm going to run every day, or I'm going to lose so many pounds of body fat, or I'm going to achieve X, Y, or Y, or Z. And we just overface ourselves. And actually, if you said to yourself, you know what, this week I'm going to go for a walk a couple of times this week, that's the first step. So don't overface yourself. Don't build this massive mountain that you've got to climb. Just say, I'm just going to get to that first ledge there. And it's one step at a time. And going back to that gym analogy you were talking about earlier, you know, pre-pack your gym bag. Make
that's
it easy
a good
for yourself.
Idea, yeah.
You know, it's one of the things, oh, I've got to get my gym kit. And then you're rummaging around your drawers and stuff. Well, don't do that. Have it all prepared, ready to go. We heard of someone earlier who keeps their stuff, a gym bag in the car ready to go. You know, just building those little things to make it easier for yourself. And I love the fact that you just say to yourself, Leah, I'm just going to go and have the shower. Use the showers. It's a nice shower, and have a nice shower. And then once you're there, you go, oh, I might as well do something.
Exactly.
And we were talking earlier, like, you never regret the workout you do or the exercise you do, but you do regret not doing it if you don't
so
do
true.
It. So
true.
My other top tip is do it in the morning. If you do something in the morning, and it's the best time of day, get going. It wakes you up. It makes you feel better. And you can spend the rest of your day walking around, head held high, going, uh-huh.
There is no better feeling. That smug feeling.
Yeah. Rather than all day having to go, oh, I've got to go to the gym later. I've got to do that workout later. So, yeah, get it done in the morning. That's a great place to start. Going back to your question, though, how blessed are we in Milton Keynes? I've lived in many towns and cities. I've never lived anywhere where I can walk literally, and we've done it. We did a 10, 12K Willen Hospice walk from one end of Milton Keynes, where our gym is, all the way to Willen Hospice. And we never crossed a single road.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it, with the railways?
There's so many routes that you can take. And there's websites where you can plot routes as well. Like, I've used it because I run around a nature reserve, and it's not, you know, I don't know the distance or anything like that. So there are websites where you can actually track a route, even if it's not kind of on typical Google Maps or whatever. So you can have a look at what the distance is and stuff if you are interested.
I happen to know that the Parks Trust are great for that. They've got a wealth of information. So if you, because we've got all these parks in Milton Keynes, it's one of the greenest cities in the world. Parks Trust are geared for that. They've got loads of walks and things that you can do, and things to see and take in, and nature trails and stuff like that. So they'd be a really good starting point if you're looking to find out where you can get out to.
And you're not too far away from a Parks Trust park in Milton Keynes.
Never.
No,
never far.
You're not. And actually, when we first moved to the stadium in Bletchley, like I was saying earlier, I would try and do a loop around the stadium. And actually, I walked just across the road and I found that there was a lovely lake over on Mount Farm.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Absolutely lovely. So you're right. You know, you just got to kind of branch out a little bit. I extended my walk one day and then I found this beautiful lake, and now it's part of my daily routine. So just going to get out there and enjoy the beauty of Milton Keynes. So there have been so many fantastic tips this evening. We're going to try and summarise it all for you with John from Arthur Ellis next. So this evening's Mental Health Hour, we've been talking all about moving for your well-being. There's been so many fantastic tips and tricks throughout tonight. So hopefully John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support is going to just summarise it very succinctly and beautifully for us this evening.
Let's go.
Over to you, John.
Let's go.
So our hippocampus grows when we exercise. That's our centre of our brain that helps us to control our emotions and feel in control of our emotions, which I think everyone endeavours to feel like. So don't overface yourself with exercise. That's why we call it move. It's just finding different ways that we can move. If you're going to start something new, it's a bit unknown, maybe there's some gym intimidation, learn about it, educate yourself. Maybe go in and start learning by doing, or finding out from the people who are doing it themselves. Find a variety of things that aren't necessarily just different exercises themselves, but have different barriers to entry. So things that are easy for you to do if you're not too motivated, and maybe things that you can aspire to do once a month or once a week or something like that. Aim for that switch between nose and mouth breathing to get that light to moderate exercise so that you know that you're at the right level. And more importantly, enjoy it and be safe.
Brilliant advice. Nicely done. Thank you so much. And if people want to find out more about you, John, and all the great work that you do at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, how can they get in touch?
Absolutely. We can head over to our shiny new website, arthurellismhs.com. Loads of ways to reach out to us on there. We also work with a variety of schools, GP practices and businesses in the area. So if you work for any of those, you can reach out to us as well and find out how we might be able to bring well-being to your community.
Brilliant. And Rob, you've been a fantastic guest this evening. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For joining us. If you want to find out more about the Good Gym MK and maybe break down those barriers and come and see you guys, get rid of that gym... What do we say?
Gym intimidation.
I'll leave that bit to you. How can they find out more information about you?
Intimidating word.
Yeah, or just find us at, online, Google us. Otherwise, come and visit us. We're in Kiln Farm. Can't miss us. Come and visit us. Come and see this and get your journey started.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks,
and join us again next month for another MK Mental Health Hour.